Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
And good morning, church. It is so great to see you, many of you back in church this morning. And a big welcome and hello to anyone who's visiting with us, or you're here for the first time, or you're just checking it out. Just check it out. Keep checking it out. Meet some people and join us for tea or coffee after the service. And a big hello and welcome to everyone who's joining us online. Can we welcome everyone who's joining us from home or in the car or wherever you are today? We are so thankful that you're with us for church as well. It is great to be a part of church family, church community. Just a couple of things before I get to the word. Next week is a special service, Dedication Sunday, where we are able to not only celebrate, but we remember and we acknowledge what God has done and is doing through the ministry of this church and the extension of the ministries through Oxley and through Oxley Kids and through the stadium next week. And really, if you've been around this place long enough, you know that we really feel so blessed that God has given us what we have here, and we want to steward that well. And next week is a date that we have every single year where we again commit it and dedicate whatever happens across this place to the Lord. So it is a special Sunday for us as a church, and I encourage you to join us next week for that. You know, we are about to flick over to February. 1/12 of the year is nearly gone. And I don't know about you, but I'm keen. I'm keen on 23. I'm keen on 2023 and what it holds. I don't know how you're feeling about this year, but I'm keen on it because, you know, I don't know the circumstances that await us this year. But what I am keen on is what God is going to do in me this year. I'm keen on what He's going to just reveal to me as I grow in Him. And I hope that is your attitude towards this year as well. His call for growth towards us this year. And I just want to say to a few people, maybe you are still in the holiday mode. Maybe you are still in the holiday routines. And can I say to you, and maybe you're at home, can I say to you, it's time to get out of bed. It's time to get off the couch. It's time to dust the Doritos off your chest. And let's go, because 2023 is here and we've got to get going. And I know I'm up here with energy today. We had a sick little boy last night and I had barely any sleep, but I am here with energy and I'm excited for what God is going to do today as well. I have a special announcement to make this morning. Of a new staff member here at the church, and he has already started with us, to be honest. But as God provides resource to us, we continue to ask Him what He would have us as a team invest that into. And nearly 20 years ago, Pastor Graham made an employment decision here that, looking back on it, has been one of the most important and fruitful employment decisions in our recent history as a church. And as far as I know, there were a few people employed at that time as the church, and a faith decision was made to employ a full-time children's pastor. And that children's pastor is the one that we have right now, Pastor Pete Harris. What a joy he has been. The ministry that has gone through Pete's hands over that many years is, we will never know the fullness of that fruit. It will only be known in heaven, but He is an absolute blessing to our kids. We are so blessed as a church to have such a faithful, hardworking servant like Him, not only leading our kids, but leading our kids' leaders. There is a pathway of leadership through our kids' ministry that Pete oversees, where our kids come through learning just the ways of the Lord and then going on to serve others so that they may learn that as well. He is a blessing to our community. And Pete's not going anywhere. Before I get any further, Pete's not going anywhere. But he's also no longer a spring chicken. And much of our kids' program requires heavy lifting and a lot of physical exertion, and he has done that for many years. At the same time, wherever possible, when you have a leadership, someone in leadership, you want to have a shadow. You want to have someone who is learning not only what they do, but is learning why they do it in the first place. And not always do you have the resource to be able to employ someone to be that shadow. But God has indeed opened the door for us. And so it is my joy to announce today that for 2 days a week, a young man is going to be joining our team as a children's department leader. And can we congratulate Liam Wilson Gardner on his appointment to the church? Stand up, Liam. You You can stay standing. He has stood as far away from me as possible this morning. I'm not sure why, but anyway, he's up there. Liam is one of our kids' leaders already. He is one of our youth leaders as well. And really, he has grown up here in the church. And he will be assisting Pete with the running of Friday night and Sunday programs, and also assisting Pete with Pete's own ministry into the local schools in the area as well. So it is a joy to have you on board, Liam. And just in front of everyone here, I want to say to you, and we're going to pray for you as well, and I really felt as I was writing this that you are not coming on board simply as a helper to Pete Harris. You are coming on board as a minister of the gospel in your own right to those that you will be over in terms of leadership. And so I hope you know that. This is a calling on your life from God, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life in this as well. So, church, can we join together and pray for Liam as he undergoes this new opportunity? Father God, we thank you for this man. We thank you for what you have been doing in his life, Lord God, to this point. We thank you for the journey of faith that he has been on. Lord, I thank you that you have enabled us as a church to be at this point where we have this opportunity to bring Liam on board. And I pray that you would give him the confidence in the fact that he is not coming simply to lift boxes and, Lord God, to help Pete in physical labor, but he is coming to minister your word to these children, Father, through word and through deed. Lord, we pray for your anointing to be upon him right now in Jesus' name, that he would know your presence, he would know your spirit in his life, and you would prompt him with the ideas for the future, that you would give him the knowledge, Lord God, as he hears it from Pete, to apply to those circumstances that he is in. And we pray these things and thank you, God, for your provision in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we congratulate Liam again? Well done. Exciting to have him on board. Let's get to the word. Let's pray for that. Holy Spirit, we just take a moment to pause. With the busyness of everything that this period of time throws at us, Lord, we do not want to miss what you want to say to us this day. Father, we pray that as we open your word, it would be illuminated to us by your Spirit. Father, we pray that the gravity of your words spoken this day would have an effect in our lives, and that effect would be far beyond us just living good lives, but that effect would go to glorifying your name, Jesus. So, Lord, right now, even in these seconds that we have and we're praying, Lord, stir our hearts. We, each one of us, make a decision right now to humbly come before you, open and ready for you to have your way. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. If you're writing notes today, I have a simple title for my message, and I'd like you to write this at the top of your page. And if you're not writing notes in church, can I encourage you to bring a notepad and a pen or something similar to church? It is a great way of remembering what is said, taking it away with you after you leave this place. If you're anything like me, you forget what the preacher said when you get home, and I that's why I write, so I can remember. Kayla, thank you for your ministry through worship to us. Where are you? Where are you? This morning, those songs, Kayla and I didn't speak about it, and I looked at the song list this morning, and it is so spot on, every one of those songs. The title of my message this morning is Worthy. Worthy. And we're going to start in the last book of the Bible. We're going to start in Revelation 5. So if you've got your Bibles and would like to turn to Revelation 5, we're going to read all of Revelation 5 from verse 1 to verse 14. And the context for this particular passage itself is, Revelation in general, a vision given to John by God. And in Revelation 5, we have this subtitle, at least in my Bible, we have this subtitle, and it says, The Scroll and the Lamb. And we're going to read all of this this chapter, and if you've got them, I encourage you to follow along, but I'm going to have it on the screen as well. This is a joyous passage, this one right here. Revelation 5, verse 1 to 14. I'm reading from the ESV version today. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written on the back, written within and on the back, which was unique
at that time, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. We have sung about that very passage. And I think maybe all of the songs, at least three out of the four songs this morning. But what we're looking at here is the coming of the end days, where Jesus begins to open the scrolls to begin that time of the end days. There is much symbolism in this passage, and we're not going to get into the depth of it, as I'm sure some of you would like to do today. But I don't want the details of some of what we have read to help to push you from losing what the main point is here. The main point is that there was only one who was worthy. It says no one in heaven or on earth could be found. And then in my Bible, it has this little title at this part. It says the dramatic entrance. And I was picturing it this week, the dramatic entrance of the Lamb. And when he arrives, what ensues? Worship. Worship. Oh, let it be the same when we have time with Jesus in our weeks and in our days that we would worship. And I asked this question this message came from the prompting I had of listening to songs and hearing songs, and we sing it so often in church. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy of all of our praise. And do we actually understand what we're singing when we sing those words? Do you understand what it means when we sing, or the significance of what we are actually saying when we sing, "Worthy is the Lamb"? What is it that makes Jesus worthy? And what does his worth mean for us? And there's two different contexts that we sing in a little way this word "worthy", and we're going to look at those today and tie it together at the end. But being worthy is not something that is talked about exclusively in the Bible. It's not uncommon to hear stories that we're told here in society. And as a kid, I remember, I don't know if I watched it or if I knew about it, this little movie called The Sword and the Stone. Do you remember that movie? It was a little cartoon about, I think it was King Arthur. Is that right? Give me some nods. King Arthur, and he goes up to the stone and he pulls the sword out of the stone. And it was because he was worthy to pull that sword out of stone, worthy in the story, to then become the King of England. Is that right? Nods or shakes? Kind of. Something similar. Anyway, you get the point. Bringing this forward to today, the Marvel Universe has also brought this to the big screen for us. And there's this thing called Mjolnir. Does anyone, who knows what Mjolnir is? Who doesn't have a clue what I'm talking about? All right. Mjolnir is Thor's hammer. You know the hammer? That's called Mjolnir. Am I saying it right? Mjolnir. Sure. No one knows what it is anyway, so I'm going to say whatever I want. And there's this inscription on the hammer that says this: whosoever holds this hammer, if he be worthy, shall possess the power of Thor. Now, I don't have a hammer with me today, but I've got something similar. And it's under here because I didn't want it to be a distraction. Yeah. Who knows what this is? What is it? Stormbreaker. This is Stormbreaker. This is the upgrade to Thor's hammer. And now, before we get into the weeds on this, anybody who is a real Marvel fan knows that this one doesn't actually have the inscription. It doesn't, you don't have to be worthy, but go with me on it for a second. Okay, so Thor's hammer, look at this. I'm just going to do this once. It makes sound. I'm calling down the Bifrost. Shh, no, not in church, Andrew, not in church. Gee. But this is what, oh, that's not, just going to keep going now. Okay, Stormbreaker, shh. It listens. Oh. But Thor would grab the hammer, and it was only because he was worthy that he was able to actually, here you go, Steph, take that for me. He was able to actually lift the hammer in the first place. There was a pathway to the actual performance that he had, and the requirement that was he was worthy. There was a certain character. It will stop. It will stop eventually. There was a certain characteristic or character that was required, or an authority that someone had to possess in order to be able to wield that weapon. And interestingly enough, in the comics, the first recorded time that Thor was given the hammer was as a result of his willingness to sacrifice his life for somebody else. Interesting. In the story, that was the definition of worthy. But Jesus Christ is not just a story. This is truth. In Revelation 5:9, we're going to look at what was required to be worthy. And it says in verse 9, they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." He is the only one who lived a sinless life that in obedience to the Father and out of love for us laid his life down that we might be saved. He is the Lamb that was slain, the spotless lamb that was slain. No one else could be found. That terminology of the lamb being slain originates from the Old Testament, where the only way for sin to be forgiven was the offering of sacrifices to God, where blood was required for the forgiveness of sin. And the priest would offer sacrifice, make atonement for a person, and their sins forgiven. And Jesus came and became that lamb for us, slain that we could find forgiveness for our sin. There are songs that we sung this morning. Pastor Graham's just grabbing something for me for later. And if you've been around in church for any period of time, you probably have heard some of those ones that we sung this morning. Perhaps not, but I encourage you to listen to the words and look at them. We sing a song, and this is called "Worthy is the Lamb." There is a song, an old Hillsong song called "Worthy is the Lamb." Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. And to be honest, this week, I'm lucky that I had laser eye surgery last year, because contact lenses don't like it when you cry. And I'm not a crier. Maybe it's the laser that makes me cry. But this week, as I've been listening to that song, and I've had revelation of the worthiness of Jesus, I just continue to break down and break down. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We sing the song Agnus Dei. Agnus Dei, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. There's a song, you write down the title of this song. It's called Is He Worthy? Is He Worthy? I think it's by Andrew Peterson. Can you verify that for me? Is that right? I think it is. Originally by Andrew Peterson. Is He Worthy? And it looks exactly at this passage and asks these questions. Who is there that can open the scroll? Does He love us? He does. And it comes to this crescendo at the end. And this question is asked, is He worthy? And we come to that realization. He is. He is. Go home and have a listen to that song. And then we sing songs like this, worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. And we're not specifically singing worthy as the Lamb. We're singing worthy are you of all in a different way. It comes back to the same thing. Worthy He is. There's a song called Worthy by Elevation Worship. It says, worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And the reason I bring up all these songs is because we sing them so often. And sometimes we can stand in church and we can sing them like with a bit of a dead face, considering all the different things that are happening in our life, and we sing and I know this song already, worthy is, you know. Oh, that we would grasp the revelation of exactly what that means and sing it from that revelation. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. I picture us as we sing it, not only as a church, but with churches around the globe, with the angels as we declare the worthiness of Christ for all eternity. And so we're singing one of those things, worthy is the Lamb, or we're singing, worthy are you of all that we have. But both ways we say it, we are pointing to the fact that Jesus be magnified. Jesus be glorified. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. We pray that you would be magnified in this place and through our lives. Jesus, you deserve all the glory. Worthy is the Lamb. You know, it's a real challenge for us, and I want to challenge you on that today, that as you come to church on a Sunday, as you come this year, as you're listening to these songs at home, as you're listening to them in the car, let's not let ourselves get in the point where we've heard this so many times that it is just something that we sing, it is words that we say. Let it continue to stir revelation in us, and we would sing and we would praise Jesus out of that revelation of His worth. Let us not make Jesus small in our own minds by the way that we come and the way that we sing. And I want you to remind you of the gravity of this act and who we're singing about and who we're singing to this morning. To feel the weight and to feel the wonder of who it is that's receiving our adoration. Jesus, the promised Messiah for generations. Jesus, fully human and fully divine. Jesus, the one who as a child the wise men came and bowed down before. Jesus, the one who fulfilled the prophecies of old and who lived a perfect life, completely free of sin. Jesus, the hope for all nations, for all people, both then, both now, and for the future. Jesus, I heard it said this way, He is worthy of more than nominal adherence and church association. Let me say it this way. Jesus, He is worthy of more than convenient Christianity and the odd attendance to a church service. Jesus Christ is not a service that we simply add on to our lives when we need Him and remove when we don't. Let us never allow ourselves to get to the point where we are trading off with Jesus saying, I have done this now for you. Now I expect you to do this now for me. And I don't want to ever get caught up here reducing the thought or teaching of Jesus to simply a good idea for you to do. Because at the end of the day, the worthiness of Jesus is regardless of what you decide or do not decide to do with it. He does not need us to be worthy. May we never get past the point of saying, Jesus, I need you. He is infinitely worthy of all praise by all people. And here's the thing. The righteous judge of the whole universe has decided to call us.
Wow! Just dwell on that for a moment. He has decided to call you to himself. And so when we come and we sing, let us completely throw aside our preference of song. Whether we enjoyed what Andrew did on the electric guitar today or not, whether the worship leader actually got it all right this morning or not, let us put aside all of that and glorify the one who is worthy. Despite what we may be feeling, despite the circumstances we are experiencing, despite what's going on in our family, he is worthy of our praise. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Where does that come to us? And from here, I want to change tack a little bit, because not only does the Bible talk about the worthiness of Christ, but also, in fact, in a way that we are to live a certain way because of that which we know. And just like Thor, being worthy to grasp and pick up the hammer, the axe, we have been made worthy as Christ has told us, instruct us to take up the cross, to pick up the cross. Paul, in his church, in his letter to the church in Colossae, said this in Colossians 1, 9 to 14. And so from the day we heard, and what they did hear about, they heard about the faith of the church there. We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry for getting so excited about this today. I'm not sorry about that. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There are many other times where Paul gives that instruction to the believers to walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling. And the question for us today is, am I living my life in a way that is worthy of God? And I have this hashtag for you today. The hashtag is hashtag walk worthy. And you can write that down if you want. But that puts too light a spin on what it is this question is actually asking of us. Because this is a question that, if you pause long enough to process, is one that we easily want to flick to the bottom of the pile. Because my flesh doesn't want to answer that question because it already knows the answer. And I was speaking with someone this week, and I asked them the question, and we were talking about this, dealing with the fact that sometimes we feel disappointed in ourselves because of the expectations we have and our failure to meet those own expectations that we have. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you had that feeling before yourself? And there had been a sermon title that I'd written down in my notes to attack at some point, and this is in part, I suppose, going to be it. I didn't know it was going to go here, but there you go. And the title of my message was, I'm Disappointing. Depressing, right? I'm disappointing. And the questions I had at the top of the page was this: have I disappointed God? I'm not going to answer all these, but I'm going to answer them quickly. And certainly, we have all sinned. But no, that's not the way that God looks at it. Am I living below my potential?
The truth is, God always has growth for us, but we sometimes don't have the perspective to see it. Am I disappointed with my choices? Am I disappointed with my choices? Can we get an honest answer for that in church right now? Just give me a nod or a shake. Am I disappointed with my choices sometimes? Yeah. Some of them, yeah. Have you ever set yourself a goal of reading the Bible more than you do currently? Have you ever? Give me a wave if that's been you. Have you ever not lived up to that goal? Maybe the better question is, have you ever lived up to that goal? Have you ever committed to getting up early in the morning on a regular basis to spend time with God? If you're at all like me, you have a great desire to have a solid commitment to spiritual disciplines, but don't always meet the expectations you have of yourself. And there are two pathways that you can go down, a choice that you have to make once you come to that reality. Number one, we do what is sometimes encouraged of us, and we simply lower our expectations of ourselves, or we throw them away completely to avoid that feeling of being disappointed in ourselves. And as I wrote that down, I know that's going to be convicting of some people today, and maybe you have done that. Maybe you have tried enough that you're like, I'm sick of this feeling of disappointment, so I'm throwing it all away completely. Or number two option, we dust ourselves off and we get back on the horse. And option two has to be the answer. And it's something that some of you need to hear today. You need to dust yourself off right now. You need to throw away what you need to throw away. You need to delete what you need to delete. You need to sell what you need to sell. You need to dust yourself off and you need to get up on the horse. And so some of you, I say that with a loving little nudge. To some of you, I say that with a big boot. Get back up on the horse. Dust yourself off and let's go. Because this is the calling on each one of us as followers of Jesus. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. A calling by who? By Jesus Christ himself. Me? Called by Jesus? Why? I'm a nobody. I've struggled time and time again. I've failed over and over. Why ever would the righteous judge of the universe want to call me? Because I am not worthy. And that by itself is absolutely true. It is only by the fact that he is the one who is infinitely worthy of all praise, the Lamb that was slain, he has called you. You are worthy not because of anything that you can do, and we need to remember that, but it is all because of what he has done. That's why this passage can be true in our lives. That is the amazing grace of Christ for us. Colossians 1:9. We're going to read through that and we're going to close by making our way through this scripture. And so from the day we heard about their faith, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be, underline this, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Get back on the horse. Know the word. M, spot on. Know the word. I don't care how many reading plans you haven't finished. I don't care. Get back on the horse. How many times you've tried, get back on the horse. Do whatever it takes and know the word of God. Secondly, allow the Holy Spirit to give you discernment and understanding. He, the Holy Spirit, is a gift from God for us and makes the word come alive. Take time to know his voice. And be in the habit of saying, throughout your day, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? And I'm going to encourage you around a few of those phrases that you might need to write down and insert into your lives. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? These two things are the key to, verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's the beginning. Then that happens. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And here's the fruit of that. Fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to evaluate the good work we do. Is the good work that I do bearing fruit? Another way of saying it is, who is receiving the glory for this good work? Is it me or is it God? Is God, if God is receiving the glory, then the fruit is good. Walking worthy is also ensuring that we are growing, increasing in the knowledge of God. What are you going to do to grow in the Lord this year? Do you have a plan? If not, I encourage you. Take some time today. Write down what you're going to do. The first two things in reading the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to give you discernment and revelation through that is a great way to start. But that's God's will for each one of us, that we grow in Him. And then it goes on in verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Walking worthy means that we look to Jesus for our strength instead of bringing the glory to ourselves for what we might feel that we bring to the table. Relying on Him is what enables us to endure and to be patient with joy. And if you're in a trial at the moment and you want to know what the way that God wants you to respond, it's right here, is to look to Him for strength, that you may be able to endure and be patient with joy. Which seems so contrary to a trial, because when it comes to a trial, we want to get out of that as fast as we can. But we come to God for strength that He may give us the endurance and the patience to endure with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Walking worthy means that we have a constant heart of gratitude to our Father. We come to Him daily, even hourly, with thanksgiving. Our words have much power over our habit patterns. Build healthy habit patterns with your words. Maybe some of you need to develop some healthy phrases that can be uttered and repeated throughout the day. And the first one, if you're looking for one, needs to be this. Get in the habit of saying, thank you, Jesus. Coming with thanksgiving and gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe the next one can be, I need you, Lord. Remind yourself of His worthiness by saying, worthy is the Lamb. Kayla, I wonder if we can sing. You could pick any of those songs, but I reckon the third one was good. Worthy is the Lamb. Just close your eyes for a moment. Just look to the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit is always working to bring truth to our mind, to remind us of God's love and His grace, to minister to you. What is He saying right now? Thank you, Jesus. Holy God, we come with thanksgiving right now. We thank You for sending Your Son, Your one and only Son, to live that perfect, sinless life, to walk in obedience to Your call, to die with us in mind, for the power of Your Spirit to see Him raised from the dead that we might have life. Jesus, You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You are worthy of all of our praise. Father, we thank You that even with the challenging teaching that we hear of walking in a manner worthy of the calling that you have for us. Father, I pray that that would settle in a place in everyone's mind today that is not an expectation that is too hard to reach, but it is a life that can be lived with joy because of what you have done. And Jesus, we don't do it just because we want to tick boxes and get to the end of the day and say, what a good Christian life I lived. But because we adore you, Jesus. Now, for some of you today, maybe you're new to church, or maybe you haven't been in a long time, and all this talk about Jesus can seem a little bit far off. You know, Nick prayed it before. She said, we thank you. We thank you that you are a big God that we worship. But we also thank you that you are personal. And Jesus died for the whole world. And he also died for you. And there is an invitation to that today. And I'm not going to stand here and plead with you. And Jesus is not pleading with anybody to open your heart to him. But that is an invitation that there is for you. The one who is worthy, the Lamb that was slain, has an invitation to you to come into relationship. With that relationship, it means that we're saying, I'm turning away from the life of sin that I might have been living, and I'm turning towards you. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I no longer want to be Lord making the decisions over my life by myself, but I want to make you Lord of my life, and I'm going to follow you. And for some of you today, that might be the first time, or you're watching online, the first time you want to say that, I want to follow Jesus. For some of you, this is going to be a getting back up on the horse. Whatever the case, if that's you today, I want to pray with you. If you want to say, I want to follow Jesus, would you just slip your hand up quickly for me today? Is that you here today? Is there anyone? I want to follow Jesus today. I see that hand. I see that hand. And obviously, I can't see you if you're watching through the screen. But God can. And Father, we thank you for your life, Jesus, that was given to us. We thank you that you are not dead, but you are alive. And we thank you for your presence that we can now so freely enter into because of Jesus, what you have done. So, Father, I pray for each person that is making this decision today to follow you. Lord, I thank you for your promise to come into their life. Father, I pray for the protection over the seeds that have been sown to them today. Lord, I pray that you would put people around them that are going to encourage them, Lord, to grow in their walk with you. Father, we know that following you is not something that's easy all the time, but you are faithful. And we trust in you. You are a trustworthy God who is indeed worthy of our whole lives. We thank you for the lives that we get to live with you. We live them with joy, no matter what comes our way. We thank you that your presence is with us. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit living in us and living through us. And Father, we pray that everything that we put our hands to this day glorifies your name.
We give you all the glory. You are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, can we give the Lord some praise this morning? We worship you, Jesus. We worship you.